You have your copy of God's Word. If you turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 31 this morning, Lord willing. Romans chapter 3. This is our 12th study out of the book of Romans in our sermon series, Rooting Through Romans. This morning's message is titled, Justified by His Faith. Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21. And here the Bible says, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for the reading of Your Word this morning. Lord, I'm praying now You help us as we try to discern from Your Word what it is You would have us to know. And God, we're praying that Your Word goes out and does a mighty work in the hearts of men and women today. Lord, keep me out of the way. Let You be visible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last Sunday we looked at verses 9 through 20, which told us that there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, of course, we mentioned that does not include the Lord Jesus because He is righteous. He's the very definition of righteousness. And we saw that God makes no preferential treatment between Jew or Gentile. And we explained that there's really two classes of people in this world, according to the Bible and in this world today. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. Anybody born outside that Jewish race, the heritage of the Hebrews, where it began, would be considered a Gentile. And we saw that man is wicked. Man is born into sin. Man will not seek after God. God Himself says, none seek after me. None that understands. So nobody understands the true righteousness of God. Nobody goes and looks for the true God of heaven. And no one can come to Him unless He first instigates it. So God is the actual catalyst behind us seeking Him. Now, we explain that men do seek after religion. Men seek after some form of God, something to worship. But in their true heart of hearts, they're not truly seeking for the righteous God of heaven unless He is the one that causes them to seek Him. And so Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so it's through the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in Him that we can come to the Father and be saved. And so Paul continues on with the subject of God's righteousness, which really the entire book of Romans is centered on the righteousness of God and the unrighteousness of man and how we can overcome our unrighteousness and how we can be considered. And so as he continues through here, he shows that there is a way that man can become righteous. However, it's very clear that it is not by our own doing. We can't become righteous on our own. And so we'll see in these next 10 verses that we can be justified, we can be made righteous before God, and it is all not through because of the faith that we have, but it's because of the faith of Christ that all of this is possible. And you'll understand as we go through this. And so I titled the message this morning, Justified by His Faith. His Faith. Verse 21 said, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." And so Paul is explaining here that man cannot become righteous on his own goodness. Man can't become righteous on his own doing, his works, his laws, his observance of holy days, of none of that. Man cannot do that. It's impossible. And so it requires righteousness from somewhere else because we don't have any on our own. We are sinful flesh. We're carnal in nature. And so we don't have this righteousness within us. So we have to get it from somewhere else. Well, Paul's explaining here where that comes from. It is provided by God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're told in Scripture that righteousness was actually created by God. He is the creator of righteousness. And so in Isaiah 45 and 8, for instance, the Bible says, "Drop down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it." You see that? So there's no mistake. Man has nothing to do with this. God Himself says, "I created this righteousness. I called it down from heaven. I am the one that will impute it into men." And so I'm glad of that. I'm glad that it comes from God. Can you imagine if righteousness came from man, what it would be like? Man would destroy righteousness. Man would turn righteousness into something weak. Man would take what he thinks is right and call it righteousness. He would have a list of things. If you are able to perform these duties or these laws or these steps or whatever it may be, if you can maintain that in your life, then we will declare you righteous. The Roman Catholic Church does such things. They will claim someone to be a saint, and there's a big list of items that they must fulfill to determine a saint. I want you to know today that God determines you a saint immediately when you are saved. You become a saint. And so the Roman Catholic Church, we know that that's a false religion. We do know that many of the Roman Catholics believe in Jesus Christ. Many are saved. I'm not saying that all Catholics are unsaved. They're not. Many of them believe in Christ and the shed blood on the cross, and they've received Him as Savior. But that religion that they have, most of it is a man-made, godless religion. And so, I'm glad that man has nothing to do with it. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we cannot even possibly grasp the thoughts of God. We can't imagine actually living and being like God is, because it's impossible. God says that I'm higher than you. My thoughts are way above yours. My ways, they're not your ways. They're very different. But man, if man had his ways, man would take righteousness and completely destroy it. And nobody could be saved if it came from man. And so I'm glad it comes from God. It doesn't matter how smart man thinks he is. And we discussed this some last week, how man is not evolving like man thinks he is. Man is actually getting worse. And you can just tell by the culture that we live in today and how the depravity of men and women today, the sinful laws that are passed today. So we're not evolving, we're getting worse. And we cannot compare our thoughts and ways to what God's are. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, "For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Do you see that? So any of this righteousness that we want to claim, it's not from us at all. It's from God, and it's through Jesus. We're told in 1 Peter 2 and 24, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." You see that? It's through him. And those stripes are referring to the stripes that the Lord Jesus took upon his own back, his own body, just for us. It was our sin that he bore, our iniquities, the Bible says. And of course, you know, there we need to be healed because sin is a sickness. It's a disease. It's inherited by nature, and it's within us. And so it has to come out. It has to be cleansed, purged, and it has to be through Jesus Christ. Paul writes in our opening text there, back in verse 21, the first part, he says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." So righteousness doesn't come from the law. It doesn't come from keeping the law. Paul says God's righteousness is manifested without the law. Now, we know the attitude of the Jews, the mentality of the Jew. And that's who Paul's talking to. And their mentality is, because of my heritage, because of my keeping of the law, because of all the things that I do, my rituals and all this, that makes me righteous. And Paul says, no, it is not the law. Righteousness does not come from the law. That's not what it is. It is manifested. In other words, the righteousness shines a light on what God gave us as the law. The law told us right from wrong. The law said sin is wrong. And so there's a difference between right and wrong. The law was, as we explained, a schoolmaster, is what the Bible said, to teach these things. And so righteousness just shines a light on that. Righteousness didn't come from the law. And so some people believe they could keep the law, if they can do good deeds, if they can attend church every time the door is open, if they can live a clean and holy life, that is all that matters. Now, while all of that is very good to do, if you're able to do all those things, then bless you. But there is none of that, any of that will save you. None of that. None of that makes you righteous. You can go to church every time the door's open. You can watch every live stream service of every church possible. You can spend 24/7 watching live stream church services. You can read the Bible. You can do all kinds of things that are religious. And it's not going to make you righteous. It has nothing to do with it. It doesn't save you. It can't save you. And so we need to understand, as the Jews needed to understand, this is not about their works, their laws, traditions. Paul writes in Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." Do you see that? Remember I titled the message, "Justified by His Faith." Do you see what Paul said? By the faith of Jesus Christ. He didn't say by the faith, your faith. He said by the faith of Jesus Christ, you can be justified. That's what he said. And so man's not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's how man can be justified. Even, he goes on to say, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I mean, Paul is just, here in Galatians and Romans and Ephesians and all these different epistles that Paul writes, he keeps explaining to the Jew, it is not anything to do with what you're doing. It's all by God that you're justified. And he says, and that justification comes through the faith of Jesus Christ, not you. And so I feel sorry for those people that are caught up in religions that believe that you can lose your salvation. Because if you can lose your salvation because of something you did, then that means that's some kind of work that you did, that you lost it. And that doesn't make sense. And so they think that if you can go down and believe in the Lord Jesus, declare being saved and be saved, and then suddenly if you sin and something happened to you and you died without getting down on your knees and repenting for the sin you just had or did, that you would die and go to hell. They believe you would lose your salvation if you died without repenting for the sin you just did. What an awful way to live. Listen, if that were true, we would have to get resaved every day. No, we'd have to get resaved every hour. No, we'd probably have to get resaved every minute. I venture to say we couldn't go a minute without some kind of thought in our head that would cause us to stumble and fall and sin. Maybe we could. But we're that carnal. We're that fleshly. And so if we have to get re-saved every time that we sin, then none of us are going to go to heaven. We're all going to die and go to hell. But that is not what the Bible says. We are saved. If you're truly saved, then you're saved eternally. The Bible says it's everlasting. It doesn't say it's momentarily. It doesn't say it's for a season. It doesn't say it's for just a little while or until the next time that you sin. Because the Bible says He's righteous and just and forgives us all our sin and unrighteousness. And so there are actually some people believe if you sin and got killed without repenting, you would go to hell. Listen, if the shed blood of Jesus is not powerful enough to keep me saved, it certainly wasn't powerful enough to save me in the first place. So if you can lose your salvation by some deed or work that you've done, then what's that say about it? It's not real. It's not real. So the truth is, salvation is not dependent upon even your prayers. Your salvation is not dependent on prayer. Nowhere in the Bible do you read about the sinner's prayer. We do see people that do pray. They speak out to God and they do things like that. But the Bible doesn't say you got to get down, you got to recite this certain prayer in order to be saved. It's not like that. In fact, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. The Bible says, believe in Him. That's what the Bible says about salvation. And so most of our prayers are empty and hollow anyway. And so if it's prayers that save us and prayers that keep us saved, then we're in trouble. Salvation, listen, I got to drive this home. Salvation is not dependent upon you. It's not dependent on you. It's entirely dependent upon the Lord Jesus. It is through faith in Him that we are saved. Because of His faith. That's the only way we're saved. Now remember, we studied in chapter 1 in Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." But man wants to believe that somehow keeping the law and somehow doing good deeds can save him. That's certainly what the Jews in Paul's day thought. Many Jews today think the same thing. The Jews still don't believe in Jesus. Most of them. And so we'll study when we get into chapter 9, the Bible says no one can be saved by the law, just like Paul is saying right here. Faith is not of the law. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. Paul writes, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." And so it's very clear, no matter what dispensation that you live in, whether it was early on, or whether it was now, or in the future time, Jesus is a stumbling block to people. He was a stumbling block to the Jew because they were so caught up in the law and the righteousness they believed that came from the law. And He says, no, it doesn't come from that. And so the Jews stumbled, and He's still a stumbling block to them. They're in darkness right now. Their eyes are shrouded. He's a mystery. All right, look at verse 22 of our opening text, back in Romans chapter 3. It says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." Here again, man has nothing to do with righteousness. It actually comes from the faith of Jesus Christ. His faith is where righteousness comes from, not yours. Salvation is your faith in Him to make you righteous by His faith. That's how it works. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." See that? "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down the right hand of the throne of God." So the Bible says Jesus is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. What does that mean? Well, we know what God is. He's a creator. The author is the one that wrote the book. You know, I used to write children's books, and I was the author. I was on the cover of the author, you know. And then when I got done with it, I put a period on the end. I said, the end. I finished it. I was the author and finisher of that little book that I put together. Jesus is the author, the creator, and he's also the finisher. He said, enough, that's it, the end. It is finished. So he is the author and finisher of our faith. He created it, and it always will be. The Hebrew writer also says in Hebrews 2 and 10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That word captain means a leader or an originator. And so we're told throughout the Bible Jesus is the author of faith. He's the finisher of faith. He's the captain. And all through here we see that it's all Jesus. Now back in verse 22, the next part, he says, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And so Paul says the righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ unto all that believe. In other words, to be saved, it requires that you believe in Jesus Christ. That word believe has the same meaning behind it as the word faith. So in other words, you could say, believe in him and you can be saved. Or you can say, have faith in him and you can be saved. It's the same thing. It's the same meaning. And we see that from the Bible in numerous places. However, probably the most glaring example that we find in that, and we can solidly say, dogmatically say, that's what it means believing is faith, faith unto righteousness, is through Abraham. Abraham is the perfect example. And that's who Paul uses many times as an example for the Jew, because as soon as Paul starts teaching and preaching about the faith in Jesus Christ and righteousness in Christ and not of the law and how a righteousness actually is manifest in the law and all this, and they start doing all this, we be seeds of Abraham. We've never been a slave to anyone. We've kept the laws of Moses. We are, you know, this and that. And so Paul would use Abraham as their example because that's who they looked up to the most. Abraham and Moses was their main men that they looked back to claim their righteousness and their faith. And so, first of all, in Genesis, we're told this, the Lord tells us in Genesis 15 and 6, speaking of Abraham, he says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So, you see that word believe? In other words, Abraham had what? Faith. Abraham was saved by faith. Righteousness by faith. Not laws. Not works. Romans 4 and 3, Paul said, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He says this to the Galatians, Galatians 3 and 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then not only Paul, but James. Listen to what James says in James 2 and 23. And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. And so it's crystal clear that believing in the Lord Jesus means having faith in him. And to have faith in him is the faith that his faith can save us. So to be saved, we know it's very simple, even though people complicate it. It's simply believing in the Lord Jesus by faith, believing that his finished work on the cross can save us. I believe that. I have faith in that. That's salvation. And of course, if you're saved, then you follow him. Verse 23, back in our text, Romans 3 and 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, remember, there's Paul is dealing with between the Jew and the Gentile. They're always saying, they're wanting to compare between the two. And so Paul keeps trying to put it all on the same level. The ground at the cross is level. I've heard that many times. And it's true. Because God sees everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, on the same level. We're all of sin. Everyone. And so, and he says there is no difference. Now, this verse, verse 23, of course, is one of those verses that we commonly use when we're witnessing to someone, when we're explaining to what we have called the Roman road to salvation. Mostly Baptists use this. It's not in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say this is the Roman road to salvation. That is a term man has made based upon scripture that is found in the book of Romans. And as we mentioned at the beginning of this study, you can take the book of Romans and the Gospel of John, combine them together, just like in this little book we have down here that you can have and give out. This little book, John and Romans, is enough information for anyone to not only be saved, but to understand the things of God and how to live as a Christian. It's all right there. So, the Roman road to salvation, of course, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's the first thing you need to understand in order to be saved, that you have sinned and you've come short of the glory of God. And see, if you say that to a Jew, they're going to say, hold on, I'm one of God's chosen. I'm a son of Abraham. I'm of his seed. And you say, well, whoa, wait a minute. Now the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you've come short of the glory of God, you can't come before His presence. He's holy. He's righteous. You're wicked. You're sinful. And because you've sinned, then you are separated from God. And so there must be something done. We go into Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us all. He died for us. And so even while we were sinning, in the middle of our sin, then God the Father drew us. The Holy Spirit came through and convinced us we were sinners, convicted us, and then Jesus saves us. So God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners, not when we quit sinning or after we got saved. Then God's love said, hey, I love them. Look at them. They're not sinners. No, it was while we were sinners. He sent Jesus to die for us. And in Romans 6:23, so you keep going down the Roman road, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, you know, everybody understands wages. That's what you get paid. And say, your payment, your penalty is going to be death because of your sin. And so you need something done about it. Well, let me tell you something about it. God has given you the gift of salvation. And that gift is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As you continue going down the Roman road, Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe, there's that word again, believe, in other words, have faith in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Who's the righteousness? Jesus. Remember, God is the one that actually created righteousness. And He sent Jesus here. So in our heart, if we believe, have faith in the shed blood of Jesus, then we can be saved. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And then the last stop on the Romans road, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, of course, that verse indicates that if you call on His name, you know who you're calling on. You believed in your heart already. You already, by faith, believed in Jesus, and God sent Him here as your righteousness. So you believe, you call on the name of the Lord. Save me, Jesus, save me. You don't even have to say it out loud. You can call on His name within your head. You know, a lot of people think you got to make some kind of big public confession of, you know, and call out and all this. No, you can simply in your heart, because He knows all, He sees all, He hears all. And so, we call on His name because we believe in Him. Just simply calling on His name without knowing who He is or not believing Him does you no good. Yeah? The fact is that everyone has sinned. Everyone has come short of the glory of God. And to come short means you don't have what it takes. Have you ever went to the store and you wanted to buy something and you didn't have enough money? Let's say you went in there and you needed to buy something. It was $10. And you come up to the cash register, you put that item down on the counter, and they ring it up, and they say, that'll be $10. And you reach around in your pocket, and you're like, Let's see. I've got $9. Will that do? No, that's not enough. That's short. We can't sell you this. Well, what do you do? You come short. You can't pay for it. It's impossible. Even if you had $9.99, you come, you say, okay, well, here's $9, and then let me catch these pennies, and you start counting, you got 99 cents. And she goes, and this is $10. You're a penny short. You've come short. Now, here in the physical, they got a little jar there where people put pennies in. You can say, okay, here, and you can put that penny there, and you're paid off. That's not the same as salvation or righteousness. If you're short in any means, there's no way to be saved. And so because you're a sinner, you are short. It don't matter how small it is. I don't care how good you live, how many laws you've kept, how much church attendance you've done. You're still short of the glory of God. You cannot be there. And so the only payment that you have, Jesus don't have a little jar of change that you can make up for your shortness before God. Instead, he offers his blood, and his blood paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Alright, look back at verse 24, back in Romans 3 and 24. Being justified freely by his grace. He keeps on saying that his grace, his righteousness, his this, his that. Being justified freely by his grace. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There it is again. He's pointing to Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Fortunately, we don't have to come up short. We don't have to come up. We can be justified freely at no cost to us. Completely free. God gave us his grace by showing toward us his redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what verse 25 means when it says he was set forth to be a propitiation. That word propitiation means to appease, to satisfy. And so what that means is God's holy wrath and indignation against your sin was satisfied through Jesus. God made Jesus the satisfaction to his anger against sin. And so he became the propitiation for sin. Verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Since Jesus was just, which of course means holy, righteous, true, and pure. That's what just means. Just means you've been justified. If you go before a judge, you're seeking justice. That's what a judge does. He's supposed to declare justice. And of course, we got to rely on a jury at times. But you're seeking justice. Justice means I want to be cleared of all charges. I want to make sure that what's done here is right. It's pure. It's true. And so Jesus is justice. That's what the Bible says. Declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. And so, it's through him. God is justified. All we simply have to do, and it uses that word again, believeth in Jesus. What does that mean? Have faith in Christ. Faith in him. Paul goes on to say, verse 27, where is boasting then? Is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And so the Jews had no place to boast. Of course, they wanted to. They want to say, oh, we're so much better than you nasty Gentile dogs. God chose us. We have Moses and we have Abraham. We have this and we have that. We're so, and you're nothing. A heathen. A dog. Paul says, so can the Jew boast? No. Can you boast about your laws and brag about them? No. But there is a law of faith. a law of faith. And so it's all salvation, righteousness is all entirely based upon the faith of the Lord Jesus. All right, verses 28 through 31, and we'll be finished. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. You see, Paul, he's countering their arguments here. And so he comes to a conclusion. He says, to sum it all up, he's pointing out the law is not void because of faith. And that's what they're wanting to know. Does this righteousness in Christ, doesn't that destroy the law? Doesn't it wipe that out? I mean, come on, it voids it, right? Paul says, no. God forbid. Nay. It doesn't void it out. In fact, what it did, it established everything that the law showed us. It established it. It finalized it. And so the Jews would say things like Paul was belittling the law or belittling what Abraham said, or what Moses said in the law, and he was blaspheming against God, and he was saying that people didn't need to obey the law and all this stuff, and the law was bad, this faith in Christ is good and all this stuff. And so Paul is just countering that. And they would want to accuse Paul of blasphemy, but Paul's telling them that faith is actually the fulfillment of the law. That's what the law has been pointing toward the whole time. Showing you right from wrong, because there's coming one who's going to save you from your sins. These laws you can't keep. You keep breaking them. You have to keep coming back to me and getting atonement for sin. You got to keep bringing sheep and lambs and oxen and everything else, cutting their throats and slinging blood and all that stuff, because you can't keep it. But there is one coming who's going to fulfill the law. Establish it. And so, the Jews try to claim the same thing about Jesus. When Jesus came here and started preaching and teaching on grace and love and righteousness, they would accuse him of trying to do away with the law. And what did he say to them? Matthew 5:17, he says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So Jesus, what he's telling them, and they didn't understand it at the time, Jesus come to say, I am the fulfillment of the law. God set this law into place with Moses. It's continued on all these years. With a final act of God was to bring fulfillment to the law. One where you didn't have to go around slicing the throats of animals to atone for sin. It's necessary. I am the one. God sent me here to fulfill all that. I am the final sacrifice. They didn't understand it. But the fact is, Jesus kept every single law his entire earthly life. He kept every one of them. But yet they accused him of doing away with them, destroying the laws, speaking out against the laws. They never could see past their own noses. They couldn't see past their own self-righteousness, and see how that, just like the Bible says, it's as filthy rags. I'm afraid that a lot of times we can get into the same attitude as the Jews. Start thinking because, you know, we went down and we got saved when we were young, and, you know, we go to church and we read our Bible and we sing gospel songs and we live a good life and everything like that. That makes us just so much better than everybody else. All that stuff is good things to do. But listen, none of that adds to your righteousness. That's got nothing to do with your salvation. You do those things. I hope and pray that we do these things because of our love of Jesus is the reason we do them. But I'm afraid a lot of times it's because it's become a habit. It's become a way of life. And that's what the Jew did. Even though God gave them the laws to follow all behind that was to seek after Him and to live for Him. But they didn't. They lived to keep the law. They could never get the religion out of it. They were just too religious for their own good. We don't need to become too religious. In fact, religion is the killer of most churches. It's the killer of a lot of people's walk with God because they can't keep it up. They don't want to keep it up. They begrudge it. It's not religion. It's a life. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's what our faith is. It's a relationship with Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for the message today. I pray that it's been helpful. Lord, I pray that we guard our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. Lord, I pray that what we have is true, is genuine. Lord, and everything that we do is because we love You and because we want to please You. Lord, not to please the world or try to look a certain way or make people think that we're so holy and righteous. Because God, as You've said in Your word, we are not righteous. No, not one. None of us are good. Without You, Lord, we're depraved. I'm praying for those today, Lord, that has never been saved. I know they're lost. Lord, You make it clear to people that they need to be saved. Lord, I'm praying You convict that heart, Lord, until they understand that their only way out of this is by believing in the Lord Jesus. Have a relationship with Him. Help us, Father. We thank You for all Your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.